I'm going to go. This is a fairly busy screen, and I apologize. This has the W-1 front and back on here. And we're going to assume that you have a lease. This is just a piece of Loving County that I copied and colored in. I'm very old school, so it's literally colored in. I apologize to all of you high-tech people. And we're going to talk about this little blue area, which is a 960-acre lease. And it, in order to fill out a W-1 and identify what we're doing out here, we'd put 960 acres over here, and then we'd measure to the perimeter of this blue area to identify the nearest lease lines. We need to know where we're going. Usually, asset team, the engineers and geologists say, I want to develop Wolf Camp production. That's fine. Wolf Camp in this general area, let's just call it Wolf Bone Trend Area Field, which happens to be a field in the heart of the Delaware Basin. You go to the Railroad Commission, you pull up the field rules. This is what your analyst would do, but this is what I'd like you landmen and lawyers to do. And that is you pull up the field rules webpage, and it will tell you a thumbnail sketch of what's applicable. You should always go back and look at the actual order to be sure that you understand all of the terms that apply to you. Because as I said, every single well is subject to all statewide rules and the special field rules that apply in your geographic and geologic area of development. So as you can see here, this field happens to have special field rules, not surprising. They have special field rules for horizontal wells. At the top, it's going to tell you how close you can get to a lease line and, if it were applicable, how close you could get to another well. Most of the time in horizontal fields that are currently being developed, they have no between well spacing because the Railroad Commission recognizes that the drainage areas of horizontal wells tend to be limited to the existing natural fractures and to the man-made fractures that are actually put on the well by the operator. And those fractures, as a general rule, tend to run perpendicular to the lateral. And so often you'll see down here that they have dual spacing. There is 330 to the lease line along the perpendicular plane as where the fractures are going to run. And then on the first and last take points, they'll only be about 100 feet because industry experience and Railroad Commission experience is that there's not much drainage in those directions. And you'll see that down here. In addition, it tells you how much your base unit can be for both density and for proration. Rule 37 tells you where you can drill your wells. Rule 38 is the density provision. It tells you how many wells you can drill. And then the remaining rules, 40, 45, the gas allowable rules, all tell you about how much oil or gas, how much fluid can come from the wellbore. And the professor described that pretty well a few minutes ago. So again, there is a tremendous amount of information here, and I'm going to want you to look at it. Over here in this small corner on the left-hand side is a piece of the table from Rule 86. The Railroad Commission, again, based on data, recognized that the longer the lateral, the more likely it was to intersect either natural fractures or actually make man-made fractures and recover more hydrocarbon and to encourage the drilling and to respect the drainage pattern of horizontal development, the Railroad Commission adopted rules which allow you to add acreage to the base unit. And I just want to note before we move to the next slide that here it is unusual, but I want you to remember that for the Wolf Bone Trend Area field, the base unit for oil is 160 and the base unit for a gas well is 320. So you get to hold more acreage with a gas well. This is an example of that same well area, the blue area, and it just shows a second well. And I'm going to go ahead and move on because I want to use the next slide as the example slide. This is an example of just a short lateral, about a mile, but you'll see that it is off lease, that the starting point, the vertical wellbore portion of the well is on another person's land, Mr. Green over here. That is accepted at the Railroad Commission. It is often in special field rules. It is also authorized without notice to anyone if your penetration point is not within the designated interval. And so I want to quickly go back to this screen, and you'll see the designated interval right here on the field area. This particular field has both all of the Bone Springs Formation and all of the Wolf Camp Formation. And so you'll see that the first Bone Spring is very shallow. And your technical folks are going to be focused on, let's say, the Wolf Camp A. And so they're, when they are looking at this and they're thinking penetration point, they're thinking Wolf Camp A. That's not the question that the regulatory analyst has to ask, and it's not the question you should ask. And the regulatory analyst may not know. So you're going to want to make sure that if they penetrate at or below the top of the first bone spring, even though they're not aiming for the first bone spring, they really want to get all of this lateral in the Wolf Camp A perfed and producing. If you wind up in the top of the designated interval, you're going to have to give notice to the unleased mineral interest owners, lessees, or operators of record in this tract. And folks who are aware of the Anadarko v. Lightning case are sort of wondering, well, but technically those oil and gas operators don't have, you know, that rock is supposed to belong to the surface owner. Whether you agree or disagree with the Anadarko holding, the Railroad Commission doesn't